Hello, everyone, and welcome to Traveling with Françoise. I am Françoise Rhodes, your host on this Sunday afternoon. Daylight savings time change, and we're all still wondering what time it is. It's 12, but it's actually 11. I do that, and everybody looks at me like, why do you do that? It's 12 o'clock. But no, this other clock here still says 11, so I'm actually on 11 time. I don't know what time anybody else is on, but...
You know, I didn't even realize that the clock was... an hour back still.
Yeah, they'll fix it later. Yeah. So anyway, welcome to the show, everyone. Great to have you with us. I went to Swiss Donuts this morning, and I said this earlier in the first hour. I said, Jennifer, where is everybody? And she said, well, they were here earlier. Or they're coming later. She didn't know. She was confused as well. All right. There's so much happening here in the Coachella Valley and in the world of travel. Weather, blizzards. Every time I see these weather reports, I wonder who wants to travel back east. Really? Why would you want to put yourself in that if you don't have to?
Yeah, it sounds like a bad decision.
Yeah, and our snowbirds, though, some of them have to leave. They plan their trips for a certain amount of time, mm-hmm. and they only have the place that they're staying in for a certain amount of time. So they kind of have to leave or get a hotel room or whatnot. But I imagine, I heard something on the news the other day that the snowpack that we have now in our mountain ranges in California alone, they say will last into July. And that's pretty incredible right there to think about that.
Yeah, I remember some early summers where the snow, you could still see some of the snow on there. But this feels like it's going to last a little bit longer.
It is going to last a little bit longer. And if you notice the mountains in all of our desert, Arizona, Nevada, California, if you look at the mountains in just a certain light, you can see now the layer of green that covers them all. It really is beautiful. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not that brown, that dull brown that we get from no water and constant heat. They are covered in green. Can you imagine how excited all the little animals are to have all that?
Oh, yeah. And I was driving to San Diego the other day, and I go through Hemet.
Okay. Yeah.
And you go through that area, and you know you go through which passageway is that? I forget which highway it is, but then it leads over to the 74.
Right.
And all that area, green.
Green. Yeah.
It's beautiful.
I know. You get off on Beaumont and go through, and then there's that cow country in there, too, mm-hmm. that I always cut through there. So, yeah, everywhere you look right now, it is gorgeous, of course, and out in Borrego Springs. They have their own bloom going on. But what is happening this year, instead of everything blooming at once, it is blooming in separate, different times. Not all the different types of flowers are blooming at once. So you might go traveling to look for flowers. You're only going to see one certain type. And then you go a couple weeks later, you're going to see a different type. So really, there's a lot going on out there. A lot going on. All right. Well, today on the show, we were going to have Craig Campbell join us with Today's California and CoachellaValley.com. We were actually going to talk about Today's California. But he texted me this morning. He's very, very sick. He's sick. And he didn't want to infect us all and be over here. And frankly, it's hard to be on the radio or do anything when you're not feeling well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, Craig, we're going to miss you. We will continue to move right through the show. But it was his birthday, and I had some birthday cupcakes for him that now we'll have to eat. So, sorry, Craig.
I'll take one for the team.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. But happy birthday to Craig Campbell. All right, what else is going on? This show is brought to you in part by the Borrego Springs Golf Resort and Spa. So check it out. They have a special flower package going on out there, and all their information is on the Traveling with Françoise website. Yesterday, I was on KESQ Channel 3 TV, and I talked about the air show happening out at NAFL Centro. The Blue Angels free air show happens next Saturday, the 16th, and I have a little bit of information in my pile of info here. I also have some St. Patrick's Day information, all sorts of stuff. So that is what I was talking about yesterday on TV. And during the week, I also found out, or the week before, that Traveling with Françoise Television is on Hulu. The nonprofit, we got our status. We are officially a 501c3 for Artifacts and Arts Across America. I'm really excited. This is all to help with the television show, to get it out there. And I also talked to my first classroom during the week about the travel industry, about museums, about everything. It was a career exploration class, and it was just really a lot of fun at Kauai Desert Academy in India. So, and the kids were great. They were really great. I did something that I don't like going to listen to lectures, and I understand why they do it. I understand that the speaker likes for you to ask the questions at the very end, because they're trying to keep this flow of what they're saying. They're trying to keep on track and to cover all the bases that they want to cover and perhaps go with a video that they're showing and whatnot. But I did something different, because I find when I have a question, I really sort of need to ask it right then. If I have to wait to the end of something, it doesn't seem so important then.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just me. And then I end up usually not asking it because other people have questions. They can only take so many questions. So I said to the kids, just ask questions whenever you feel like it. And cameraman Steve was there with me, and it worked out perfect. And we showed a little video. And the kids asked questions all the way through pertaining to what I was talking about at that time, and it worked out really well. Yeah, they had good questions.
Yeah, when you kind of induce that creativity and you get them excited about something, they're going to ask the questions. They're going to want to know a lot more about what you do. And it's something, of course, in the East Valley that a lot of students don't see until much later.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, right now is a good opportunity for them to know that there are different options.
That's right.
In terms of careers.
Yes.
You know, and that's not to say that, you know, it's okay to do other things, but that there are other things that are attainable.
Right. And they have choices. You can be, you can have that safe, secure job, which is great for a lot of people. Or you can be like those of us that are creative and we're always living, what is it, hand to mouth? I don't know. We're always trying something new. Always something new. Because we just love that. That's our life. So anyway, so it was all a good thing. Okay, so here's some news before that I wanted to talk to you about. You might not have heard about it. Maybe you have. Train to Coachella could be on track as early as next year. We have been talking about this for so long. Why can't Amtrak? And we know it has to do with the tracks. And the cost of the tracks that Amtrak, of course, is second to the freight lines that are out there because the freight companies own the railroad tracks, not Amtrak. But they're finally coming together thanks to the help of Golden Voice and everyone else that thinks this can really work. The California State Transportation Agency granted Amtrak $5.9 million to help fund a temporary platform in Indio during the music festivals that will happen. And of course, once they build this it says temporary, but I would imagine with that kind of money, they would want to put something that they can construct easily every year for the music festivals. This tells us a couple things. First of all, the music festivals aren't going away.
Mm-mm.
No, they're just going to continue to be down here because that could be a fear for some companies. We build this mega resort and down that way and then they're gone. But obviously, they're not going anywhere. I think they have it pretty, since they bought the property, they're pretty well settled here in the Coachella Valley. But Amtrak will be running trains, not this year, but next year from LA, daily trains during the music festivals. I think if they ran them just for the whole, a month, almost the entire month to get people that want to come earlier and leave, I think they're going to do really well.
Yeah, and a lot of them do come in from L.A., not just, you know, people that live there, but travelers.
Mm-hmm.
They'll fly into L.A. or Ontario, and, you know, having a train there accessible to them would make it a lot easier for us, too.
And what I'm hoping is that this becomes so popular that we have a daily train back and forth, L.A. and back, at a reasonable hour. Not at 4:30 in the morning. It comes, you know, a couple times a week, but at a reasonable hour. And I think that will certainly help with the tourism in the long run as well. Because just think, driving back at night, sitting on a train versus having to sit in traffic, whichever direction.
Well, think of the people that could then commute to work.
Yeah,
that's, you know, yeah. You just wake up in the morning. You know, you take a train. Let's say you take it at 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
You're there in 2 hours.
Yep.
You're there for your 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're good to go.
That's good. I hadn't thought about that. So it's a win-win all the way around. Hopefully it will happen, like I say, to become a year-round thing instead of just for our music festivals. But we will see if it's supported well for the music festivals, then maybe they would even just start having it run during the season and not during the summer. Like some of the flights that come in and out, they're only here during the season, out of Palm Springs International. So we'll see. It's a win for us all the way around. Good thing. Before I talk about Rick Steves, because I went to listen to Rick Steves after the show last week. I told you I was going to go, but we're going to talk about that when we get back from the break. But before we do that, I want to remind everybody about the air show again over at El Centro Air Show is the website, which is already on Traveling with Francoise. March 16th, next Saturday. It's a free event at NAFL Centro. Really, go, go, go. It's going to be a lot of fun. Make a little day trip out of it. You can see the wildflowers along the way. The Salton Sea you're going to see, too, on 86. So it'll be a really great, fun adventure for the entire family, or go solo, whatever you want to do. But it's an incredible air show. So there you go. All right. So on that note, Alex, why don't we – did I even introduce you? Did I? I don't even know. I think we just jumped right into talking.
I think I introduced myself by just jumping in.
You're jumping in. And, of course, that's Alex answering the phone and working the board for us and keeping us on the air. All right, Alex, let's go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Rick Steves, Travel as a Political Act, his book and his lecture last week, and so much more. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise right here on Money Radio. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise. I was listening to the A1 Custom Golf Cars. Of course, they have their mascot, Max. You'll have to look at the video they put up of Max. But I was also listening to Adult Customized Tours. They are in Rosarita Beach right now. They have a Rosarita Beach trip this weekend and one next weekend. Steve and Lalo are going to be with us next weekend. But today, Steve and Lalo are in Rosarita Beach having lobster, spending the night at the Rosarita Beach Hotel.
Oh, man.
And having lobster at Ortega's down there. And we used to go down there with a boat all the time. And I like Rosarita. It was a lot of fun. So one of these days, we'll have to all go to Rosarita Beach and just hang out and go eat some lobster.
I'm holding you to it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's fun. They do. I actually bought some furniture from Rosarita Beach also. I had one of the furniture makers down there make some chairs for my house. And the chairs were just what I wanted. And to buy those chairs here, they were like $600-$700 each. They were bar stools. And down there, I forgot what I paid. I took the material. I think it was...
You probably paid less than that, than the $600 for each chair for all.
Oh, yeah. That you wanted. For that, it was just two chairs. But I think it was maybe $200 a piece or something. I don't know. Beautiful work. And I was just so excited. I took, like, say, the material down there and did exactly what I wanted. And I'm not saying that's for everybody, but the talent down there... The creativity is really something. I mean, there's so much talent as far as designing things and woodwork and materials. Mm-hmm. And anyway.
A lot of artisans.
Yeah, there you go. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you. Yes. And I love the colors. I love the bright colors. All right. So let's talk a little bit about Rick Steves. I went to his lecture over at the Palm Springs High School, their P.S. Richards Center for the Arts Auditorium. Beautiful auditorium over there. And his theme for his lecture was Travel as a Political Act. And they gave everyone a book, which I was very, very surprised. I mean, everybody there in the audience. The audience was almost full, but not quite. But it was pretty full. And Rick Steves said some really interesting things. I saw some people, though, were a tiny bit disappointed because I think... They wanted to hear more travel stories that weren't a little bit political. And I'll explain what I mean by the political. I just felt that. I just felt there were a few people that did leave. But I could just, you could kind of get a sense. But he was fascinating, though. I really enjoyed it. It was very good. He said something right off the bat, which I've always agreed with him. He says, people who travel are less afraid of people and places in life than people who don't travel, which is really true. When you tend to stay in your own little world, everything frightens you on the outside of that mm-hmm. world, and you have to get out there. The more you travel, the more you have to go with the events that just pop up, the disruption in your travel, or for some reason you can't get to one place and you end up going someplace else, or things change, and somewhere isn't as fabulous as you thought. One prime example for me was for Yellowstone National Park. Everybody talked about Old Faithful. I mean, yeah, it was okay. It was a geyser, pretty incredible. But there's other geysers and there's other things at Yellowstone that are so much more fascinating. So if you go to Yellowstone and just go to see Old Faithful, you're missing so much beauty and spectacular places. And it dawned on me that as much as we like to say don't miss, you know, the Leaning Tower of Pisa or the Colosseum or whatever when you're traveling in Europe, and same thing here, it's those other out-of-the-way spots at these destinations that are probably more incredible than that one.
Yeah, and I think a lot of things that come with travel is also becoming more culturally adept. So you do understand cultures a little bit more. You understand people more. And like you mentioned, yeah, if you're going to go to, you know, whatever city for just one thing, you're going to miss out on a lot of other things that, you know, are there that are just as spectacular. So, you know, Yosemite, you know, a lot of people want to go see Half Dome.
Yeah.
But there are waterfalls. There are, you know, places to hike.
Beautiful.
There's so much to do. Yeah. And I've been lucky enough to go, and it's wonderful. Mm-hmm. It's peaceful, beautiful, and so much to see. And even like if you go to your favorite city, or let's say you go to New York City, and you only want to go to the Empire State Building,
yeah.
Well, you know, you want to go to all the other places. You want to walk around because you don't know what you're going to run into because
right.
There's just so much going on.
Get a feel. And same thing going to Paris. Eiffel Tower. Well, that's spectacular. But it pales in comparison to some of the other things there that are to see. So travel really, really is interesting. In fact, it makes me think of, because this segment is brought to you in part by the Cabot's Pueblo Museum, that we had our winner in the first hour. They went to the tour, the Cabot's Pueblo Museum, the house there. They took a tour of the house, and they were really blown away by what they saw. They didn't realize. So right here in our own backyard, people think of the Cabot's Pueblo Museum. They probably think of the museum part. You might go into, you know, the gift shop and see, and you see a little bit of the grounds. But once you take the tour, it gives a whole new meaning to going up there. And that's why I encourage people to go, because you're not going to just see, you know, a few little things that you expect to see from an old desert complex or home or ranchita or whatever you would like to call it. Once you see, you walk through the house and take the tour on the different stages of how the home was built, each stage has its own story, and it really is a fascinating story. So again, travel is there's so much more to travel. But his book, Travel as a Political Act, was talking about, and his lecture was talking about, how politics have created so many different things in all these different countries. And it was very interesting because he talked about the baggage that each country has. And their baggage is completely different from our baggage. Everybody has different baggage. And when you go into a different country, I mean, he said right now our baggage here is 9/11. That's our baggage, which has created this country to think differently about other countries and other people because of our own baggage. Other countries have their own baggage that makes them think differently about the United States, thinking perhaps that we might have been part of the reason that they have that baggage, whether it's bombing or disruption or whatever. Germany had the baggage, of course, with the Hitler for a long, long time. That was their baggage, and now they have a different baggage. They have a struggle with the government. So it was really interesting to hear him talk about what different countries we think only we're the only ones with baggage. Now, everybody, when they travel from their own country, thinks that they're the only ones with baggage. But they're not. Each country has its own baggage, which creates different scenarios. So it really was interesting. And he wasn't political in a sense of telling people what's right or wrong. He was telling people that you need to open up and understand more of what their baggage is, and you'll understand why perhaps they treat us or different countries differently. Which does make a lot of sense.
Empathy and sympathy,
yeah,
is what it is.
Yeah.
And this goes back to what I was saying about being culturally adept.
Mm-hmm.
Is if you know more about why certain characteristics come from different countries, then you become a little bit more accepting. Or even if not accepting, at least you know why something is the way it is.
Right. I think he I don't remember if he said Iran or Iraq. But he went to one of those countries with his crew. And it's interesting how Rick Steve got started. He just didn't all of a sudden say, I'm going to be a travel person. He was he graduated a historian. He had his major in history. He went on to become a teacher. And during the summer breaks, he had family in Norway. And they would go visit the family in Norway. And then he started doing tours in a summer break to make money. Travel tours. And then one thing led to another. So he's been doing this all his life. It really is fascinating. He was saying that he was either in Iraq or Iran, and he said the people where he thought they were, at first they weren't even going to go, they did go. They weren't sure how they would be accepted. He said they saw old signs of hate towards America, which some of the people said, oh, we don't even pay attention anymore. He said that the culture was so friendly and welcoming, and he said completely different than what they had expected for to be an American. So you just don't know. You just don't know. It was very, very interesting. So again, his book is Rick Steves' Travel as a Political Act. He did say that all his shows are for free on his website, that you can go to his website, and he did that on purpose, even though he has them on television. But you can see everything for free on his website, which is ricksteves.com. So you might want to check it out. So it was well worth it. I'm so glad I went, just to get someone else's opinion on what's going on in the world of travel. All right. Well, we're going to have to give away some tickets to the Indian Wells Arts Festival. When we come back, we're going to actually talk about St. Patrick's Day. There's another way out there to judge where you might want to travel, which I saw this and I looked at it twice. I went, really? It's country color palettes. You might want to travel around the world depending on what their color palette is.
Huh.
I know. Who thinks of these things? I don't know. All right, folks, stick around. When we come back, we're going to give away those tickets to the Indian Wells Arts Festival. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise right here on, excuse me, Money Radio. So, all right, we'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise. I am Francoise Rhodes, your host. Joining us in the boardroom is Alex. Okay, we do have two admission tickets to the Indian Wells Arts Festival, March 29th through 31st. These are good for any day of the festival. You cannot have won anything from the show in the last 30 days, please. If you'd like to try and win those, give us a call at 760-440-8255. That's 760-440-8255. We have Barbara win some in the first hour of the show. I will mail these out to you. And again, it is for the Indian Wells Arts Festival at the Tennis Gardens, which is a beautiful spot right there to go and hang out at the end of the month, March 29th through 31st, 760-440-8255, if you would like to those. All right, I saw something in the paper this morning, which I definitely want to do a show on this if we can do this. Archaeologists have confirmed that there are tunnels under the famed Alcatraz prison. Now, wouldn't that be amazing to go look at those? They say the Alcatraz prison was built over a Civil War era military fortification. I did not realize that. Researchers found a series of buildings and tunnels under the prison yard of Alcatraz Federal Penitentiary, which once held Al Capone and so many other famous criminals. So historians believe workers built over the existing structures when the prison was built in the 20th century. Alcatraz first came to the attention of the U.S. government after it took control of California from Mexico in the 1840s. The location in San Francisco Bay made it attractive for military fortification purposes. So during the Civil War, Fort Alcatraz was the official military prison for the West Coast. Wow, I know. Very interesting. And in the 1930s, the first federal prisoners deemed by the media to be the worst of the worst began arriving. And the last inmate left in 1963. I would love to do a show about those tunnels over at Alcatraz. So I am saving this. And who knows? I'm going to get in touch and see what they come up with. You never know. Also happening in the world of travel, well, this is completely different from Alcatraz. Disney announces opening dates for Star Wars Lands. Star Wars Galaxy Edge will open in the Disneyland Resort in Anaheim on May 31st and in Disneyland's Hollywood Studios in Orlando on August 29th. They're making a huge, huge deal out of this with the media. So obviously they're very excited about it. Also in the travel news, Airbnb to acquire online travel agency Hotel Tonight. Airbnb is ramping up its strategy around hotel accommodations, which is interesting right there. Think about it. Airbnb, they really wanted to focus on private residences that you would rent. Well, now they want to get into the hotel business as well. So you can tell that the hotel business is not going anywhere. All right, and Mexico Tourism Board expected to close all international offices, according to multiple sources. New York, Tokyo, and Berlin offices will be shuttered by the end of the quarter, and Miami will close in May or June. They're not really saying why they're doing this, but they are closing them all. Yes, Alex.
Tina from Palm Desert, and she's on the line.
All right. Hi, Tina.
Hi.
How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Well, great. I'm glad to hear that. Now, have you been to the Indian Wells Arts Festival the last couple of years? Are you a regular?
I think I was there maybe 4 years ago.
Okay. Well, this year, when you go onto the grounds there over the tennis gardens, it's going to be more beautiful than ever.
Oh, looking forward to it. Thank you.
All right. Well, you're more than welcome. Thanks so much for listening. Stay on the line and make sure that Alex has your information, and I will get those out to you, okay?
Okay, very good. Thank you so much.
You are welcome. All right. Congratulations to Tina. Otherwise, in travel news, San Juan is back on the spring break map after missing the list entirely last year when recovering from Hurricane Maria. San Juan has risen to the number 5 spot on Alliance Global Assistance list of top international spring break destinations. So congratulations for them. And the U.S. State Department reissued a travel advisory for the Bahamas on February 25th following 3 similar warnings in 2018 from the U.S. and Canada. The current advisory remains at level 2 but urges travelers to exercise increased caution when traveling to New Providence, Nassau, and Grand Bahama Islands of Freeport. According to the advisory on the State Department's website, the advisory stated that violent crime such as burglaries, armed robberies, and sexual assault is common even during the day and in tourist areas. Ugh, I just don't like hearing stuff like that. All right. Also in the news, consumers are increasingly traveling to the world's most exotic regions and booking long-haul flights to get there. A new study conducted by AirHelp reveals the actual on-time performance of the world's 75 most punctual long-haul airlines. Consider these for your next trip, as the results are quite unfortunate. It says more than 50% of passengers on long-haul flights are likely to experience a flight disruption. 55% of all passengers bound for a flight that is 5 or more hours can expect to experience a problem. Nearly 3 out of every 5 flights in 2017-19 were delayed for at least 15 minutes or canceled. And whew, all right. But then on the flip side, they are talking that some of the airlines are doing really well. But here it is. Here's the specifics for long-haul airlines findings. Hong Kong Airlines is the top performer in terms of on-time performance. Kenya Airlines and Singapore Airlines are the top runners-up. People traveling with Nordic carriers like Finnair, SAS, and Norwegian are particularly likely to endure travel chaos. All right. Well, didn't say anything about any of our airlines in there, so that's a good thing. But yeah, so much happening in the world of travel. And speaking of airlines, and how about the seats? Looking for an upgrade? Tired of cramped regional jets? Well, United wants to be your airline. United says it's adding more than 1,600 premium seats in about 250 of its aircraft, part of an effort to compete against rivals for high-spending road warriors. The carrier is even planning to introduce a new type of 50-seat regional jet, complete with first-class seats and a self-serve beverage and snack area. I saw pictures of that, which would be interesting. I'm trying to think, was it JetBlue? I think it was a JetBlue that came into Palm Springs International, and they were showing that self-serve beverage area for first class. You just go up to this giant refrigerator and take out what you want. Which,
wow.
I thought this is great, but I also thought people tend to say, I'll take one for the road.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I mean, really, everybody's offering water. Everywhere you go, bottles of water, bottles of water. How often do you see people take not one bottle of water, but maybe 2 or 3 bottles of water?
Yep.
Yeah.
I can attest to that because I've been guilty of it before. It's,
right. We all have.
Yeah.
Yeah. I go to a resort and I know I'm going to be doing something for the day or whatever. And I'll just put in my bag for the radio show, I'll put 2 or 3 in there and think. And half the time I end up taking them home because I don't drink all that water. But I'm looking at the beverage and I said, how are they going to regulate this? Because I don't see anybody standing there keeping track of it. But I guess they'll figure it out. But that tends to be. And will that help with the service? Course, that'll keep the attendants from having to walk down the aisles.
Yeah, and I think
they
probably make enough money off of first class to be able to, you know,
cover the cost.
Yeah, I don't think they have much of an issue with that.
Yeah, so keeping it stocked, though, I guess would be their largest. But it was very nice. Anyway, the area was very nice. So flying has changing some for the good, and is changing some for the good and some for the bad. Yeah, It just depends on where you're going. But they're trying to make these regional flights a little bit more comfortable. And I, frankly, if I'm only going an hour or so, I don't really need a whole lot of comfort. I really don't. Just get me there. I just leave on time, get there on time, get me there, and I'm happy. I don't, like I say, maybe some other people do. I'm not sure. Maybe if you were flying every day for business, I could see, yeah, you might want a little bit. Because there are people, you know, that fly to Los Angeles or wherever every day for work and fly home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You might want a little bit more comfort then. But you have enough frequent flyer miles there to cover you for quite a while. All right. On that note, we're going to step aside for a moment. When we come back, we're going to talk about cities for St. Patrick's Day. As we said before, Craig was supposed to be on with Today's California, but he was really sick this morning and couldn't make it with us. And we wish him to get well quickly. You are listening to Traveling with Francoise. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise. I'm Francoise Rhodes, your host. So great to have you with us today on this Daylight Savings Times Change. This segment of the show is brought to you by Animal Samaritans, improving the lives of animals and people since 1978. They have a lot of events going on at Animal Samaritans to raise funds for them. So check out their website, animalsamaritans.org. And, of course, they have their Thousand Palms Veterinarian Clinic. They have their Indio Veterinarian Clinic. They have their animal shelter in Thousand Palms. So they do an amazing job over there. No-kill shelter for dogs and cats. They have foster pet care, free animal-assisted therapy to disabled children. A ton going on. So give them a call at 760-343-3477. And, again, you can always donate food. They have a whole list on there of foods from Costco that you can buy and take over there. Also, I want you to know about whale watching. They keep posting incredible videos and stuff from Dana Wharf whale watching, sport fishing and whale watching in Dana Point. Go to the website, danawharf.com, and book your trip today. Surprise somebody with whale watching. It's a couple-hour boat ride out there on the ocean. It's a lot of fun. And, of course, they have fishing, half-day sport fishing and full day and all sorts of fishing for all you fishermen up there. And then finally, I want to make sure that you know the Borrego Springs Resort and Spa in Borrego Springs. They have their flower packages and all sorts of packages. They have the golf course there on the property, a spa, lots of things for you to do when you are there in Borrego Springs. You can go hiking. You can look at the sculptures, the Ricardo Brasida sculptures, the Sky Art, Goleta Meadows, a lot of things to do. Downtown has a main street, so check it out. They're really busy out there in Borrego Springs. It's their time the same as us right here. They get the same weather that we do. But next weekend is St. Patrick's Day. Yes. It's a big weekend.
It is, especially for, you know, having a little bit of fun.
Yes.
Adult fun.
It's one of those excuses that everyone uses to party. So the top 20 cities for St. Patrick's Day. I won't go through the top 20. I'll just do the top 10. But I did not see one California city on there. Not one.
I can see that.
Yeah,
I can
I
see that because we're not a huge, we don't have a huge Irish community, yeah, you know, in comparison to the East Coast.
I know. So, but Florida?
Oh, okay. That one's weird.
Yeah, that is weird. So here are the top 10. I'll just give you the top 10. Number 10 is Dayton, Ohio. Number 9 is Rockford, Illinois. Number 8 is Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Number 7, which I thought this might be up there a little bit higher than the others, is New York. Number 6 is Naperville, Illinois. Number 5 is Tampa, Florida, which, I don't know. Now, Boston was number 4. I give Boston.
Yeah, Boston's an easy one.
Yeah. Madison, Wisconsin is number 3. Philadelphia is number 2. And number 1 top city for St. Patrick's Day, I don't know if anybody's going to guess this one, Chicago, Illinois.
They have a lot of bars.
Yes, I don't know. I'm completely surprised. I don't know. I think California should be in there somewhere. I really do. I don't know. So St. Patrick's Day facts. Said 819% increase in Guinness consumption on St. Patrick's Day compared to the rest of the year.
I believe it. Guinness is a good beer.
Yeah. 819. I'm having a hard time saying that number. Okay. 152.5% more beer is sold overall on St. Patrick's Day. Now, you know, O'Kane's Irish Pub in Rancho Mirage will be opening. They have a big ribbon cutting. They will be opening for, they'll be open for St. Patrick's Day, so you can imagine it's going to be pretty crazy over there. And then they're open, finally open. All right, $1.3 million market value of a leprechaun's pot of gold. How do they put a market value on a leprechaun's pot of gold? I don't know. At $1.3 million, how do they even know how much is in the leprechaun's pot of gold? I'm not sure.
How do they know the size of it?
That's true. We have seen so many rainbows this year. There was a rainbow this week as well. There, of course, we all think of the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, but there have been a lot of rainbows this season already. So anyway, the market value, if you find a pot of gold, is $1.3 million. All right, $5.6 billion. That is the amount that will be spent collectively on St. Patrick's Day in 2019, which averages out to $40 per person celebrating. Oh, it's a lot of people. It's a lot of beer. Mm-hmm. And 32.6 million is the number of Americans who claim Irish ancestry, second only to German, and seven times Ireland's population.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can see that. I wonder if... How accurate that is in general.
I have no idea. I don't know who comes up with all this stuff. I know Dan the man, who calls us whenever we have, I make a mistake, Dan, thank you very much, or I can't figure out something, or we don't look it up. Dan always keeps me informed on a lot of things. He sent me an email the other day and was talking about travels that he and Carol are doing right now, and something came up about St. Patrick's Day, and he found out that he has Irish ancestry.
Oh, did he take one of the tests?
Yeah, he did.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't. I know I have Irish ancestry, yes, dating back, but I don't claim it that much, but there is some back there. But yeah, he found out. So I don't know. I'm a little hesitant to take those DNA ancestry things. I don't know. I'm not sure why.
Yeah. As somebody that uses a lot of social media, it's kind of funny for me to say I don't trust something.
Yeah.
But those things I don't trust.
I don't trust either. Yeah, and I'm not saying that it's wrong or right or whatever, but yeah, I'm like you. I'm just kind of hesitant because they can almost say whatever they want, and how would we know the difference?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even, it's not that I don't trust the results. I don't trust what my DNA goes to afterwards.
Oh,
but I mean, I guess I give my DNA to other stuff too, so I mean, I guess it's kind of silly of me.
But that's a thought. Maybe some people really don't want to know what their DNA is. I am not that much interested in it. My thing is, I don't know what kind of questions they ask you. And if, from my name, wouldn't you kind of just pick French? Really, Francoise?
Yeah.
Wouldn't they, right there, you could almost say, well, there's so much French in you already that would be too difficult. The other, I don't know. So I know a lot of people do it. Go for it. Enjoy it. Have fun with it. And maybe you will discover something that you didn't know about your family. Maybe, I don't know, but that is interesting. At this point, let's say at this point, I'm not ready to actually hand over my DNA to anyone to figure out where I'm from or who I am and all that sort of stuff. I'll stick with whoever I am at this point. All right, here's another way. They're always looking for ways for you to figure out where you might want to travel and why. So now this company, Sovereign, they have compiled 18 color palettes for countries across the world based on iconic locations in each country. They studied them in their simplest form and created a diverse array of color palettes representing each country. Which I read this the first. I got this a couple weeks ago, and I looked at it, and I said, you know, that could be interesting. And I kept it on my computer. There's some things I don't print right away and think I'm going to use them on the show because I have to think about them for a while, and I had to think about this one for a while. And then when Craig this morning got sick with today's California, and I thought, well, let me look at my list of items that I haven't talked about and see what I come up with. So I was looking at this again, and I thought, this is kind of interesting. So their key findings is, and Alex, I'm going to show you this. Obviously, you can't see it, but you can see all the different colors that they have on these different palettes.
Looking at your paper, is there a pot of gold at the end of it?
No, unfortunately not.
It looks like a lot of rainbows there.
They are a lot of different colors. So they went by the coldest colorscape, and they're saying that some travelers decide where they're going to go by a color palette. Okay, the coldest colorscape with an average temperature of 5 Celsius. Ireland's colorscape is filled with, okay, the coldest colorscape, wait a minute, oh, it's Iceland, I'm sorry, that didn't make sense. The coldest colorscape with an average temperature of 5 Celsius is Iceland. Okay, that is at the top at 5 Celsius. The colorscape filled with moody, earthy tones and deep blue and gray. That is their colorscape. So the colorscape for Iceland is earth tones, deep blues and grays. All right, color palettes become lighter and brighter as the temperatures rise. Thailand flaunts a beautiful range of bold oranges, pinks, and blues, and has an average temperature of 29 Celsius. India is filled with beautiful contrast of orange and purple. The warmest climate also has hints of green and blue in its color palette. So if a country was to base their travel experiences around color palettes, I'm looking at the USA, which is actually in the group for the top 5 coldest, which I don't understand that. But our colors here are a lot of browns and oranges, even some dark gray and black, with some blues that are turquoise blues, tiny bit of green and gray. So we're not as bright as some of the other colors are, or excuse me, some of the other countries are. The Caribbean is really pretty. I like the Caribbean. So if I were to look at this and try to figure out where I want to travel by the color of the country, I'm thinking it would probably be the Caribbean.
Yeah, and I wonder how they get... I know it's by temperature, but the U.S. is a very, very wide range of temperatures. So I don't know. I don't know how I feel about the U.S.'s range there, the color palette, because, I mean, you could have something that's, like, pretty cold, but then let's say you come out here to Palm Springs, it's not...
It's not cold.
Yeah, it's not cold.
Yeah, they're cold. The top 5 coldest, which were included, is Iceland, the Netherlands, Mexico, USA, and Italy.
Mexico?
I know.
Huh.
Yeah, that's and the top 5 hottest is India, Thailand, Singapore, Caribbean islands, and the Greek islands.
Those make sense.
Yeah, those do make sense, but the top coldest I didn't get either. Spain's sort of right in the middle there. And ranked by temperature, Iceland would be the coldest, India would be the warmest. And USA is actually 4th on that list. So, yeah, I don't know how they figure it all out. But there you go. There's some way to figure out where you're going to travel for everyone. Now, I don't think I'm going to keep this. I think I might toss this in the junk pile, because I'm not sure if I'm going to be deciding where I'm going to travel by color. All right, folks. That's going to pretty much wrap us up for this week of the show. Next Sunday, we are going to have some students in from the Boys and Girls Club of Palm Springs. We're also going to learn about the Indian Wells Arts Festival. We're going to go traveling with ACT Tours. Now, go to the website, Traveling with Francoise. I'm going to change up a lot of those contests on there. We do have an overnight stay, I think, at the Miracle Springs Resort and Spa in Desert Hot Springs. We have some tickets to the Indian Wells Arts Festival. Tram, they're going to be reopening as soon as they can. They sent me some tickets the other day, so we'll get that back up there and a lot more. So, everyone, you have a great one. We'll see you next week. And remember, as always, it's never too late to get a life. See you next time. Bye.